Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew. Powered by Twin Peaks, here's Stokely and Zach.
Reacting to day number 8 out at Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew. Big weekend if you're a Broncos fan. Peyton Manning.
My favorite Pearl Jam there.
Steve Atwater. Just stop it. John Lynch. I mean, it is a
action-packed,
star-studded class. I mean, really one of the better classes of all time. I don't know where it ranks. We'd have to go through it. But, you know, the 2021 class of Peyton, Calvin Johnson, Charles Woodson, John. I mean, that is like, that's a class. We were having so much fun with our good buddy James Merrillat from DenverFan.com. Asked him to stick around here on a Friday. I got a question for you, both of you guys. From where we sit right now, and obviously things can change, and you guys have the right to change your mind. We haven't even seen a preseason game yet. But from where we stand right now, as more than half of the practices that are open to the available public have already taken place, so we haven't seen the whole thing, but we've seen more than a little bit. Stoke, let me start with you. What do you think the Broncos' record would be with Teddy Bridgewater, knowing what you know right now?
And I'll tell you this, we don't know a whole lot right now. I think this defense is going to be really good. I think this running game is going to be really good.
If you don't want to answer because it's too early, it's probably you're fair to say that.
Well, I mean, I'll answer, but I'm just saying we've gotten a lot, but we haven't seen real football. We haven't seen real football. Have they tackled anybody?
Nope.
No, they haven't. Has a quarterback gotten hit yet? Nope. So
should we be able to see the best of these guys because that stuff isn't happening?
You would think it's not going to get better whenever, you know, live bullets start to fly, right? I mean, a quarterback play doesn't go from, you know, bad to, I mean, from really good to, you know, special. It doesn't go from average to great from practice to games. I mean, usually it goes the other way. Like, usually you perform better in practice. Because quarterbacks aren't getting hit in practice, you know, they can escape the pocket. Sometimes it looks good, and you know, you would have got sacked, buddy. You know, turnovers are a lot different. You know, and you're not, it's not real game situations most of the time. You know, where you have first down, say third. Those third downs in the game are a lot more pressure and action packed than a third down at practice, right? So. We should be seeing better than, you know, now than what we'd see in training camp. Look. Same record, you know, 8 or 9 win football team is what I'm looking at.
So really
no, not
appreciable difference.
No.
James?
I think with Teddy Bridgewater, they're a 7 or 8 win team. Maybe they could get to 9. Maybe. I mean, that schedule is really easy. There's a lot of Detroits and Cincinnati, and I mean, that Jacksonville, the Jets, the Giants. I mean, there's a lot of very winnable games on that schedule.
Especially early, where your first 3 opponents combined for 9 and 39 last year.
Yeah, and 2 of them are starting rookie quarterbacks. So I think, you know, they're probably 8 or 9. I'll even give them that. I'll even say, you know what, with Teddy, I think they went 8 or 9. And I think it's a very small range. I think with Drew, and here's the reason I like it, is there's an upside. There's also a downside. And I don't dislike the downside, right? If you're going to me, mediocrity is the worst. I'd rather go 5-12 than 8-9, because I think your range with Drew is probably 5-12 to 10 or 11. Like, if it really clicks
with Drew or Teddy,
with Drew,
Drew.
I think,
okay.
Drew, the range is like this.
Uh-huh.
My hands are like shoulder width, and with Teddy, it's very narrow. It's 8 or 9, and I would rather have the roller coaster than the people mover. I just would, because 8 and 9 with Teddy Bridgewater, I'm telling you guys, we're all gonna sit here on January 3rd or whatever the Monday is after the finale, and they finish 8 and 9 with Teddy and go, what? Where did they go? What did they accomplish? Nothing. Now they just have a worse draft pick. Teddy's not the guy in 2022. Do you fire Vic or not fire Vic? Do you get rid of Shermer or not get rid of Shermer? They're going to be stuck squarely in no man's land.
Do you move on from, and you know, you could get teased if Teddy Bridgewater is your quarterback and you go 9 and 8, you could get teased
right.
the way this organization has in the past to continue to go down the road with that guy.
And then 2022 becomes like second year with Trevor Siemian, where you think you've got maybe an answer, and boy, this defense is good enough, and let's keep Vic around. And then you waste another year of trying to win with a really good, expensive defense and a mediocre quarterback, despite the fact that you've had then 6 years of evidence that that's a formula that doesn't work.
Well, they would have to play much better than 8-9 to fool themselves into giving this thing to Teddy again. I think they would certainly be in the quarterback market. Now, whether they could get one or not, that's another story. But whether it's a drafted guy or a free agent guy, I don't think they just go into this thing with Teddy again.
Well, I would hope so, but you got to consider where the Broncos have been these last 5 years. And it's probably good that George Payton is new here for a fresher set of eyes, because if you had been in the trenches at that position for 5 years and not have been a winner, and now you are a winner, that'd be a tough.
Well, you're not a winner if you're 8-9.
Well, I'm saying if you're 9-8.
Now it's changing.
I said 9-8 with Teddy. I said if you went 9-8 with Teddy, that could be just a teaser enough to go down the road if you had been in the trenches. If you're George Payton, you know, you just got here and you created a winner, and maybe you'd still have that. Hopefully a wandering eye.
But I still think he adds. You know, whether it might be a young guy, though, with Teddy, you know, being the Andy Dalton of this year.
Everybody says, though, Teddy gives you the best chance to win. And it's the same question I'll ask when we were having this debate with Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow. Because it was every week. You know what? Kyle gives us the best chance to win. To win what? Like 8 or 9 games? To be playing relevant games in November and December, which George Payton told us was the goal. This used to be Super Bowl or bust in this town. That used to be the standard. And if you weren't on a path that you could see that, hey, their trajectory could lead to a Super Bowl, you got onto a different path. Not now. It's let's play relevant games in November and December. Okay, well, if that's your goal, if that's your standard, then yeah, Teddy Bridgewater gives you probably the best chance to get there. But as somebody who's lived in this town for almost 48 years, that ain't my standard. That's not the goal. It's not to try and flirt with 500. It's not to play a game after Thanksgiving that actually means something. That's not the goal. So the
times have changed, buddy.
Well, in 2020, we all said in 2020, the goal was to find out whether or not you had a quarterback in Drew Lock. You had to find out which had in Drew Lock. They didn't answer that question, right? Because we still don't know.
Or you could say they did.
Or they did. Well, either way, right? So you either they didn't get the answer, or they got the answer and won't accept it. Either one is bad. So they failed in their goal for 2020, but none of the people who failed in that goal are held accountable for it. And so what's the goal this year? Like, if you go with Teddy, is the goal?
That is a good question.
The goal is to win as many games as possible. I mean, that's like you're looking at it from like too far away. When you look at it and you put yourself in their shoes and in the locker room and in that building, it's one week at a time. You know, it's not like, okay, if we get to 8 wins, it's a failure of a season. I mean, you get to 8 wins. Now you hopefully you're playing that last game to try to have a winning record. And so that's how you look at it from in that building. If you're in there, it's like week to week. And we take a different approach from the outside. Like, gosh, I mean, 8-9, man, you'd have been better off winning 5 games, but it's not that easy. You know, it's easy for us to say that, but for those guys and girls and ladies in that locker room and in that building, it's different. You know, it's a different approach. It's a week by week approach.
And I think we need to differentiate how we would want it to be to how Vic Fangio and the Broncos want it to be. Because we all, although we're disagreeing about some of the minutia, we all agree that if it was up to us, I think we'd all rather see Drew Lock because of that wider spectrum and that potential of that upside. Last year was not optimal, to say the least. You could argue very fairly that Drew was the worst starting quarterback in the league a year ago. But there's still something there that we'd rather see. But the guys who are going to make the decision, it's just an entirely different lens that they're looking through. To Stokely's point. And I just, like, what is Drew Lock going to have to do over these next 3.5 weeks to be the starter against the New York Giants week one?
I think he's going to have to clearly outplay Teddy Bridgewater. I think he has to be, if it's close to a tie, they're going with Teddy. Now, I think that's a mistake. But I think that's what they're going to do.
We all agree on that as well.
Because the problem is the goal this year is for Vic Fangio to save his job. That's the goal. Clearly, right? Because why else would you go with Teddy Bridgewater? Now, if you bring in Teddy Bridgewater and he's here in case Drew Lock gets hurt, or he's here in case Drew Lock falters, that's a different narrative and that's a different plan. But when you're considering starting him week one, clearly the goal is we want somebody who can go out there from the start of the year, stop this 0-7 in September, and save Vic's job. And again, saving Vic Fangio's job is about 42nd on my to-do list this year. But it's number one down there.
No, it's you're looking at it wrong, James. I mean, they're trying to win football games. I mean, it's not about Vic's trying to save his job, of course. I mean, who wouldn't? But it's about, you know, hey, let's try to make it to the playoffs. We've seen crazier things happen. I mean, to think the Broncos can't, you know, go 9-8 and make it to the playoffs, I think is, you know, not giving them enough credit. They have a good enough roster to, if everything goes well for them, they could be a playoff team this
year. Well, I guarantee if they go 9-8 with Teddy Bridgewater and sneak into the playoffs as the 17th, they will fall into the trap that, hey, we're on to something. And we will see the exact same thing in 2022, which probably won't fare as well as it did this year, and it will be another wasted season. That's what it'll, and to me, that's worst case scenario. As a put on my Broncos fan hat, that is worst case scenario, just being trapped in perpetual mediocrity. 7, 8, 9 wins and maybe flirting with a playoff berth every now and then. It's going nowhere. It's again, it's the HOV lane to nowhere. And they've been stuck in it since 18 walked out the building.
James, thank you.
You bet, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, James.
Speaking of 18, I have a question for Brandon Stokely about the sheriff that I've never asked before. We'll get to it next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Knows the name Peyton Manning. And this weekend, Peyton Manning will be immortalized in Canton, Ohio. We knew it was coming. We knew when it was going to come. Specifically, because when you have a career like Peyton Manning's, you know you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And it'll be over the weekend. It'll be on Sunday, Stoke. Is that right?
Sunday.
Yep.
2 days, but Peyton and his class are going in Sunday.
Yep. It's a rare year where you get two classes put in on the same weekend because of COVID last year. And I'm glad that they waited. That these guys like Steve Atwater deserve the audience that will be out there in Canton. You will be out there. Stoke, when are you leaving?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Tyler Palumbis and Darren McKee will be broadcasting The Drive live from Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, how cool is that?
In less than a half hour. You are not going to want to miss that. Tyler has his Super Bowl ring on, right?
He brought it. He did. Wow. I heard them debating it, and I never brought it up. I'm not bringing mine.
You're not bringing yours?
No. I don't like to wear it. It's like flashy. You know, it's like, you're trying to draw attention to yourself. I don't like that. And then at a place like that, like, why do you need to wear your Super Bowl ring? I mean, that's kind of like.
So I you know, I understand your premise of not wanting to be like, hey, look at me. Like, if you wore two of them, then I think you do that. But when you're in Canton, Ohio.
You double bling it out. That's a little.
Like the Suns and Fours opponent, the double watches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And who is the dude that Tyler told the story on air a couple weeks ago?
He has two watches. He was teammate, offensive lineman for the Redskins,
but,
I think.
But it was two watches on each hand for a total of four.
How about that?
And when Tyler asked him, he said, I'm doing double time overtime.
Mm. That's swag. Hey,
everyone's different. That's swag. Hey, going in the break, I said I wanted to ask you. I don't think a question I've ever asked you. You know, when we had PFM on the show 2 days ago, I asked him, I said, look, you and Stoke were teammates for a long time. You caught his 49th touchdown pass single season to break Dan Marino's record. That was you. That's a special moment. Come back against the Chargers on, was that Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football?
I think it was Monday.
Down
24-0
24-0 at halftime. Come back. You caught just one of my favorite plays of yours in the right corner of the end zone. Just awesome. There was another time where Thanksgiving Day, Detroit Lions, He threw you three touchdown passes in the first half. What's number one for you?
For me?
For you. The same question I asked him.
My favorite catch from Peyton?
And by the way, his answer for you, and it wasn't even really on my radar. We haven't talked about that one too much. Was the playoff game against the Denver Broncos.
03,
when you guys were trying to get over the hump of, you know, translating your regular season success to postseason success, and you guys kicked the door down, and you were a big part of that.
Busted the Broncos' head wide open. That's what happened. Two of them.
The factuals.
Two of them things in the first half.
You had two of them?
Yeah, in the first half.
Oh.
Yeah, 87.
Oh.
Right before halftime, Al Wilson trying to chase me. But that was a big game, and that was a cool game because Peyton had never won a playoff game before that one. Denver had whipped us a couple weeks before at our place. That was a Quentin Griffin game, I believe. And, you know, we came out and just put it on them. And, you know, there's a lot of talk at that time. When will Peyton win a playoff game? When will he win a playoff game? And, you know, will he, how much longer will it be? Yeah, you know, he can't win one. And we finally were able to do it. And I was a part of that. So that was really cool. And because it's hard when you're in his shoes. You know, if you're Tom Brady and you just step on the field and you replace Drew Bledsoe and you just, next thing you know, you're carried to a Super Bowl first year. That's pretty cool, right? You don't have any more pressure on you. But when you're in Peyton's shoes and, you know, like you haven't been able to get over that hump of just winning a playoff game, that pressure starts to mount. So we're at least able to do that. And that was a fun game. And like I said, we just were on fire and didn't punt. Didn't punt the next week either.
Didn't punt?
No, didn't punt. So that was a fun one. So,
wow.
But for me, it would have to be, I think with Peyton, it would have to be the 49th. Touchdown, break Marino's record. A lot of hype surrounding that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is it going to be? And nobody thought that record was going to be broken. It was one of those kind of records and stood for a long time. And we were having a great year. And, you know, to be the one that caught it. And then we won the football game. And it was a close game. And so it was just, I mean, that was a really cool play and cool moment in Indy at our stadium at home.
Do you remember the play?
I do remember the play. It was... it was a signal, and it was a dummy audible, and, you know, you ball up your fist, and you punch it against your open hand like that.
Smash.
So you got a corner route by the slot receiver, 12 yards, you go to the corner, outside guy's got a hitch. And Peyton just told me, he's like, hey, just run the corner post, I'm going to give you this signal. And I knew what he was talking about, right? I was like, okay. It wasn't like anything that we had practiced. It was just kind of on the fly, and he sold it. You know, and that's what we did a lot. We would sell things, like, you know, just sell things. And you know, defensive guys fall for it all the time. I mean, like Peyton Manning would really give that signal and, like, really be adamant about it. You know, just kind of, you know, very adamant. And I gave it back to him. Like, oh, this? You want
right,
this? Yeah,
right,
okay,
right,
yeah, let's do right, it. All right, guys. And I went to the corner, and the safety just bit hook, line, and sinker. And then went back to the post, and it was wide open. And he had thrown the ball, and it was perfect. Right on the money, and so that was the play. Just kind of like that's how we did it in Indy, you know, just kind of a little bit of freelance in there, unorthodox, and it worked.
I just watched the play right now a couple times.
Yeah,
really cool.
It was cool. It was a close game, and you know we ended up winning it in overtime, I believe. Maybe,
so yeah, look at you, you're on it, and you know it's one of those things where you count home runs and change the number, you know, like
right,
hanging in the crowd.
Strikeouts.
Yeah, there you go. And there was a sign hanging and, you know, changing the number to 49. And, yeah, so there was 56 seconds left in the fourth quarter when that happened. You guys were down 8. Your touchdown made it a 2-point game. And this is so vintage Peyton because he just throws the record-breaking touchdown. And he doesn't sell it. He just holds up the number 2.
Yeah.
Just like, next play. We got to go for 2 to tie this game.
Not me. I'm like, let me keep this football. So they're going to try to take this football. I just caught the 49th, you know. And of course, he's talking about, you know, going for 2.
Did you get that football?
I had it.
You had it past tense?
Uh-huh.
What happened?
Got stolen.
No.
Yeah, they took it from me. It's like, you know, I couldn't fight for the football as the game's going on, and I got all my touchdowns that I've caught in the NFL. I've kept them.
Of them?
Yeah. Yeah,
how many balls do you currently have?
I don't know. I don't go count them. I have no idea.
But there's enough where there's like a couple dozen?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, playoffs, regular season, you know, maybe I got one or two preseason ones in there. Like my first touchdown in a preseason game, stuff like that.
Really cool.
Just kind of thrown around in the basement, right? It's not like they're.
I think I need one of those. But don't give me one of those preseason games.
But so I had the ball, and I'm like, okay, boom. Like, you know, if we miss this 2-point conversion, this game is probably going to be over, right? We're going to kick an onside kick. Probably won't get it. It's over. I'm not letting go of the football. So I just had it on the sideline, right? And then the equipment managers come up and like, hey, we need the ball. And I'm like, no, you're not getting this one, buddy. Right? You know, it's not happening. And they're like, Mr. Irsay wants it. I'm like, tell him to come talk to me tomorrow. You know, Mr. Irsay, the owner. And then I gave it to Aaron Moorhead. He wasn't playing at the time. Another receiver. I'm like, hey, you don't give this football to anybody because we made the 2-point conversion. We're going to overtime. So now I got a football game to play, right? I mean, I got other stuff to worry about. And he keeps coming up to me talking about the managers want it. This person wants it. That person, you know, like they're trying to get this football from me. And I got a stinky. I'm trying to play a stinking game.
Right.
Right. And so finally, I just said, okay, just give it to him. I've never seen it since.
Wow.
She gone.
Wow.
But it's been broken a couple times since then, so I don't feel, you know. If that record would still be, you know, 49, then I'd be like, man, now I really don't care. It is what it is.
Well, you guys, you caught that touchdown. Edge punched it in to tie the score 31-31, and then you guys picked off the Chargers. Ran one play and kicked a, wow, looks like a 61-yard field goal.
What? Really?
How does that make sense?
No.
That's what it says here.
Well, it might have been. I don't remember how the game ended, honestly. I don't remember.
Excuse me. I shouldn't have said ran one play. Wow.
Was it really a 61-yard field goal?
No. And I don't know what. No. No. It was a 30-yard field goal from Tanner Jeff.
I don't remember like a 60-yard, because like you would remember that, like
yeah.
A walk-off 60-yarder.
So how about
to win
this? You caught a 23-yard pass in overtime to put you guys in great field position, and
you know,
and then it led to a Reggie Wayne completion, and then a 30-yarder. You guys won 34-31.
That was a fun game. Fun game. Wow. You know, anytime like you catch a record breaker like that, that's cool. But you want to win the
game.
You
got to finish it.
It's like catching a touchdown in the Super Bowl. That's cool. But if you don't win the game, it's like, this stinks. So you want to finish it off and win the thing.
Right. All right. Great story. Great memory. It's going to be awesome this weekend. Has Aqib Talib weighed in on Teddy vs. Drew? Aqib.
Okay, Trev.
Got some audio to play for you next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Did Aqib Talib weigh in on Teddy versus Drew? Real quick, before we get into that, I got a shout out my man Dave out at training camp, who was there with his wife. He listens to us every day. Wife says, every time he borrows my car, I come back in. 104.3 is on the radio.
Smart man.
Shout out. My man, retired Joe in Bennett, Colorado. Loves our show. Says, hey.
Retired Joe, did he give himself that nickname? Or is like
he's retired.
Is that what you do when you retire? Retired Stokely when I'm done? You know, is that tired Brant? I mean, I like that, though. Swag. There you go.
So retired Joe out there in Bennett. Love it. Appreciate you guys. This is Aqib Talib on, he's got a podcast. He's going to be calling some games this year.
I saw that on Fox or something. Him and Gus.
Yep.
Sure. My guy.
That is your guy.
Stokely, wow.
All right. Aqib has his own, podcast, Call to the Booth. And he was asked about the Broncos quarterback battle and how he thinks things will shake out.
I think whichever one protects the ball the most, man. Whoever got the least amount of turnovers in the preseason and practice, man, whoever looking like I'm going to protect the ball and let my defense play ball. Whatever quarterback looking like that, I think he'll get the nod. And I honestly think that's going to be Teddy.
And so what do you think happens to Drew Lock in that moment? If Teddy's the backup, I feel like he's been a career backup relatively. You can accept that. But once Drew Lock goes to the bench as the backup, that causes friction in itself.
Man, I don't think it caused friction. I think it caused friction if you was like that last year, if you was 10-5 and then a new guy came and now you was on the bench. But, I mean, you a starter, but just on paper, like, you know what I'm saying? If you look at your numbers, them backup numbers. So it's you shouldn't be too mad. You got an opportunity to be the starter for a team and you was probably ranked as the worst quarterback in the league or, you know what I'm saying, somewhere around there. So you can't be too mad when you get to the bench after you had an opportunity like that.
Well, I mean, leave spot on. Look, I mean, there's no friction in the locker room. I mean, if you're in the locker room, you want good quarterback play. There's no allegiance to Drew Lock because he was a starter last year. I mean, he didn't play well enough. So if he doesn't win the job, you understand in the locker room that he just didn't do it good enough. He didn't just play well enough, right? And that's on him. So it's not like he's been a five-year starter and won you a bunch of games, and that's not the case here. So I don't think there's any friction in the locker room that you got to worry about. And that is a big part of it also is the turnovers. Who turnovers the ball the least amount of times and who has crisper, cleaner practices? That's probably going to be the guy that wins the job. But Drew has to, you know, do that a little bit better than Teddy because of the history.
Right. Someone says, every time I hear – Aqib Talib's voice, all I hear is, quote, the situation is still under review. That's pretty good. You remember that?
No.
Richie? All right. We'll pull it up for you.
Okay.
The situation is still under review.
No, I'm not on that one for some reason.
Yeah,
I'm not
you
sure
are.
About that.
Yeah, you are. You just don't know it.
Every time I hear him, I think of the Trev.
Yes.
Okay, Trev.
That's what Which I just, think of.
We went like a year without playing that.
Yeah.
But it is now back.
Okay, Trev.
I love it.
That was when Simeon had the juice, man.
He had it. Yeah, it's but you know, I think he makes a lot of sense there. I mean, he's obviously on it. I mean, the cleaner, crisper quarterback that takes care of the football is probably going to be the one that wins the job.
This is the reference here.
Aqib, can you clear things up? Did you shoot yourself in that incident?
Oh, man, the situation is still under review, and we got to respect that process, so I'm not going to talk about that right now.
That's wow. An all-timer,
see,
man.
Yeah, that is, and, like, I'm not – I wasn't doing radio then, and so that's – that. And I haven't heard that one, like, wow, I don't know, forever.
Aqib, did you shoot yourself? It's just like such
Let's
a classic.
Got somebody, you know, I mean, that's good. You got somebody that just asks good questions like that. I mean, you can't just, you got to ask it, especially in his situation.
Yep.
Situation still under review.
Situation still under review. It's like a really simple question. Yeah. Did you shoot yourself? The situation's still under review. You got to respect that process.
You got to love it.
And nothing happened. That was the thing. The key was ready to go. A-okay.
Apparently, he didn't do it.
You know, it's like nothing from the commissioner. Which soundbite that we heard this week will have more legs over the next 3 years? This?
Piss and vinegar out there.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or this?
Yeah. We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Pat Shermer.
I think so, too.
Pat Shermer.
I think so,
the
too.
The piss and vinegar, that's great from Fangio, but... We were actually trying to throw incompletions one. That's an all-timer.
That's an all-timer,
man. That
will
be with us for a long time.
That was
Thank you for that, Pat.
All-timer. All right. Man, enjoy the weekend. I hope that you get to, you know, catch up with your guys. And these are rare moments in life, man. Like, when are you going to be gathered like this with this collection of guys? It'll be a one-of-one. You might have some pockets different in the future, but not this specific collection this weekend.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, not like this. So looking forward to it and going to have a good time and see some good guys go into the Hall of Fame and see a lot of former teammates and friends, like you said, that you don't get to catch up with a lot. And so looking forward to it. You have a great weekend also. Looking forward to getting back here Monday. We got Minnesota week coming up.
Yeah, here we go. Join practices.
Yeah. Buckle up.
Can't wait.
Real football. Is about to get going for the Broncos.
That's it.
That's it. All right, enjoy yourself. We'll talk to you next week. Shout out Richie Carney, our producer behind the glass. And we step aside to throw it to the drive live from Canton, Ohio, next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.